and then we'll pray and we'll take some time to look at some of the details of this passage. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 says this, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, longed for, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with the other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway. Again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at your last care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye also were careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed to Macedonia, no man, or no church, communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. For I have all and abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the thing which was sent of you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Boy, this is one of the most encouraging passages in the Bible. And let's remember that it's really set in the context of a man who's suffering, writing to people who are also dealing with difficulty themselves. And part of the reason they're dealing with difficulty is they're concerned for Paul's well-being. They're concerned that in prison he's potentially going to die. He's not going to be able to get out. He's not going to be able to see them again. And there's a tremendous concern on their part. And so Paul comes to the end of this letter, and it's one of the most practical, encouraging, warm passages in the entire Bible. And so what I want to do is I want to just kind of give you a summary statement of the whole point of this little passage right here. And then we'll look at a couple of the details and try to make it practical during our time together. The first thing I want to say is this. This section of Paul's letter is really his final encouragement to people who are in hardship. And what he's going to do is he's going to give a list of things that we need to do when we're going through difficulty. Let me read them to you, and a couple of them I'll comment on a little bit. In verse number 1, he says, we need to stand fast in the Lord. And he refers to them as his dearly beloved. Paul deeply loved these people. He knew that they loved him. They had given to him when he was in a time of need. They sent message to him just trying to find out how he was doing. Paul had a very rich relationship with these people. And so he encourages them, stand fast in the Lord. When you're struggling, when you're going through difficulty, you've got to draw your strength from God. It's that simple. You're not going to find strength in other places. All those places are going to let you down. The second thing we see is in verse 2. He says, be of the same mind in the Lord. He actually addresses a contention that was going on between people that he really loved. Paul loved Euodias and he loved Syntyche. These are people that had labored with him in the establishment of the church of Philippi. And so when he thought of those two, it was difficult for him to think of these two believers that he loved, that had served with him, being at such odds. And so what he does is he says, you need to all be of the same mind in the Lord. Verse number 3 says, help those which labored with me in the gospel. And so he's not just naming these people who are in contention and saying, I desire that they get together and resolve their differences. But he actually reaches out to somebody unnamed in the church of Philippi. And he says, I want you to help those people resolve their difference. Verse number 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And that's a command. He has to state it because there are times that we don't rejoice. There are times that we're very discouraged and frustrated. But that little phrase at the end of that statement is really the key. You're rejoicing in the Lord. Not necessarily in your circumstance, not how you feel. You're rejoicing in the fact that God's in control. And as he's going to state later in these verses, there are things that God's doing behind the scenes that sometimes we forget about. Sometimes we don't see them, but they're there. God's at work. Verse number 5, he says, let your moderation, and in this context, it has the idea of having a gentle spirit, let that be known unto all men. You know, when we are pressed and dealing with difficulty, we tend to get a little bit crankier with other people. At least I do. We start being difficult to be around. We start taking out our frustrations on the people around us. And Paul's reminding them that when they're going through pressure, they have to be gentle with one another. And so it's one of the encouragements that he gives to those who are struggling, going through hardship. He then says in verse 6, he says, be careful or be full of care, be anxious about nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He says, not only do you need to rejoice, not only do you need to be gentle, but you need to be on your knees. You need to go to the Lord and you need to let him strengthen you. Bring all of your requests to him. You know, you may really be overwhelmed right now and you need to take those burdens to God and you need to put them right before him and leave them there and trust him to work in those circumstances. And he makes this statement, verse 7, it's a promise. He says that when you do this, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The truth is that when we bring our requests to God and we lay them there and we trust him with our circumstances, he pours into our hearts grace, strength, enabling. It says it passes all understanding. It's actually beyond something that you and I can comprehend, but there are times when God's people have this overwhelming sense of peace and calm, and it's not normal apart from the fact that God has given it to them. And that's what he says God will do when we take him at his word and we take our requests to him in prayer. He then goes on to say this in verse number 8. This is a very important part of this entire chapter. He says, finally, and he mentions things that they need to think about. And at the end, he says, think on these things. One of the ways that we're able to deal with anxiety, apart from, yes, bringing our requests to God and drawing upon his grace and strength, is we have to learn to think about what is good and what is wholesome, what is true, what is sure. One of the things that really burdens us as people is we carry burdens that are in that realm of unknown. All of the things that we think could happen, we think might happen, we think about those things a lot, and they really burden our souls. And one of the things that this passage tells us is not, you know, filter your thoughts through what is true. He says, think about what is true. He doesn't say filter your thoughts through what is good and sure and wholesome. He says, think about what is good and sure and wholesome. And the idea is that as God's people, rather than thinking about what we shouldn't think, we need to focus our attention on what God tells us to think. In other words, anxiety really often kind of comes when we think about the unknowns and the uncertainties. And so Paul's encouraging these Christians to not do that. He's encouraging them to focus on what is true. What's true about God, what's true about his ways, what's true about how he relates to his people. He then comes down to the final section and he says this. you need to follow my example. And really, that's what the remainder of this verse is. Verse number 10 down to the end of the chapter is Paul talking about his own interaction with this church, how he looked at his circumstances, and he says, you need to follow my example. How can we do this? Well, we need to learn to be content, he says. He says, be content with such things as ye have. He then says this, he can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. In other words, Paul says, as I've grown and matured in my faith, I've learned some things about suffering, about hardship, about how to find strength in the Lord. And I want to encourage you to do the same. So my question is this, what is the promise in this passage? Well, he says it this way. He says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That promise is probably one of the most special parts of this entire chapter. And what's interesting is that that promise is actually not made with a contingency. In other words, he's not saying God supplies your need when you trust him. And God supplies your need when you have a sound mind. And God supplies your need when you come to him in prayer. And God supplies your need when you're gentle with other people. God supplies your need in spite of your failings in those areas. In spite of those times that you don't come to him in prayer and you don't rejoice as you ought. He's still faithful. He's still there. And so that promise that Paul gives is just this gentle, encouraging reminder that in spite of our failings, God is there and he's working and he's going to take care of us. So what are some simple observations that we can have from this passage? Let me share with you a couple, and then we'll come to the end in prayer. My first observation is this. When we're troubled, we need to draw our strength from the Lord. We as Christians have confidence that God is good, that God is all-powerful, that God is wise, that God's in control, and that God loves us. And we need to draw strength from those truths. Those are not just, I hope he is. Those are statements of fact. Those are statements of reality. And so when he says, stand fast in the Lord, that's what we need to do. My second observation is this. We need to look out for one another. Paul encouraged these Christians who were troubled to look out for one another, to look out for two individuals in the church who had a conflict with one another. Probably a lot of that conflict had to do with the pressures that they were dealing with and how they were responding under those circumstances and how that was affecting their relationship between one another. But in times of difficulty, we need to look out for one another. Three, we need to be gentle. When we are oppressed, what comes out isn't always sweet. And Paul reminds these Christians, and God reminds us through his word, that we need to be gentle and peaceable and kind with one another. You know, a lot of people are spending more time than ever before with family by force because of this pandemic we're dealing with. And the truth is that when we spend a lot of time together, we sometimes rub each other the wrong way. And when we feel these pressures, we begin to sometimes deal with one another harshly. And we need to be gentle in times of difficulty. We must be focused in how we think. It's not about filtering out what I think as much as focusing my attention on what God tells me I need to think about. And lastly, fourthly, we need to learn from those who are spiritually mature. You know, God in his goodness brings people into our lives who have lived longer, who have learned more, and who have matured in the process of life. And we need to get around those people. We need to learn from them. We need to see that we can grow just like they've grown. And God wants to use us someday in a place to be that person for somebody else. But let's learn from the spiritually mature. Paul says, you need to learn from my own example. Paul wasn't saying that in pride. He was saying that as somebody who had learned some things in the Christian life, and he wanted to help people. Lastly, we need to remember we're in a process. Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That indicates process. That means that it takes time to mature. It takes time to grow. It takes time to become what God wants us to become. And so let's remember those simple observations. When we go to the Lord in prayer, let me share some things that I jotted down from my own personal time of prayer, and I'd encourage you to consider these and others. Here's some things we can ask God for. Father, help me to draw from your strength today. Help me to look out for the needy around me. Help me to be gentle in how I interact with other people. Help me to focus my attention on what is true and what is sure. Help me to learn from those who are spiritually mature around me. And help me to be patient in this process. With that in mind, let's bow our hearts together in prayer. And it's been good to see you this morning. Father in heaven, thank you for the text that we've been able to look at this morning. And I pray that you'll help us to be a people who draw from your strength. Help us to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Father, help us to look out for those who have need around us. Help us not to be self-absorbed and self-focused, but help us to look out for others. Father, I pray that you would help us to be a people who are gentle as we relate to our kids, our spouse, the people that we come in contact with, the people that we live with. I pray that we would be gentle in our interactions, that we would be instruments of encouragement rather than instruments of discouragement in people's lives. Father, I pray that we would have a focused attention on what is true and what is sure rather than what could be or what might be. Father, help us to learn from the godly people you've brought into our lives, those people that are in our church family, those people that our mentors in our lives. Father, help us to learn from the saints of the past. Help us to learn from their struggles and their growth into Christ's likeness. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to be patient through the process that we find ourselves in today. We ask for your blessing on the scriptures that have been laid out this morning. May they encourage your people. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I hope you enjoyed joining us this morning. It's been good to spend a little bit of time in God's Word, and I hope you have a blessed morning. Bye now.